It's just the corporate learning's quite a lonely text-based experience for many.
I was just wondering
in terms of what you've just been talking about, where that sits in the best ways for us to...
Well, I think corporate learning doesn't really work very well, and I think actually what we need is more human communication in corporate learning, probably. So, for example, things like anecdote storytelling, looking at things which amuse us, and not just funny cartoons, not funny cartoons on a piece of paper, but something a bit more lively, I think are very important in corporate learning. I mean, I think that... I think good corporate education is done face to face.
Okay.
I think that's really important. What we tend to do now. This is the worst thing possible, which is to use the email.
Yeah.
Okay. And the written page. Sorry.
Thanks.
I just wanted to say.
I think. I'm not into corporate learning. Of course, I've run a large group.
Yeah.
And what we did in that group was to have face-to-face meetings of the whole group regularly.
Yeah.
That I thought was very important. So, for example, when we were dealing with ethical issues of skills, yeah. We would have everybody in that group, including the cleaners.
Okay.
Everybody who worked. I mean, you didn't have to come.
Yeah.
But those meetings used to happen on a Monday evening. After work at about 6, and they'd go on until people would discuss what they wanted to discuss.
This is interesting.
I think that really built up a very, very effective team.
Okay. So where does that leave? I'm just intrigued because the thrust of what is going on at this conference and for many organisations is just having a digital experience.
Yes, I know.
I think it's quite limited.
I think that's quite limited. I think digital experience is helpful and it will reinforce. But somehow I think corporations have got to... Coffee's been brilliant. Have got to break down. So you have a number of, managing directors within the... For example, in a banking company like JP Morgan, you have a number of managing directors who... No sugar, milk, please. Who would actually be able to meet their group. And I think that's one way of doing it.
Okay.
The corporate message will be different too.
Yeah. So do you think where does digital fit in then? Because all I'm thinking is lots of people are asked to just read things. We have lots of text-based sort of rote learning going on still in organisations.
We ignore it, don't we? Don't we? I do.
Yeah.
Because universities do it too.
Yeah.
And basically you ignore it.
Yeah.
And I mean, sometimes you feel that you have to do it because if you don't, you're going to get in trouble with health and safety or something.
Yeah.
But actually, even with health and safety, we don't do a good job in that.
So why, if we know all this, why do we carry on doing it? That's what I don't understand.
Because it's cheap. And it's easy. And you can get to everybody now electronically.
But that's... I had one last question. Was this idea of where does reading fit in? So this kind of reflection, and because of this, it feels to me like it's a meta. We can slide through Google and get quick answers, but at some point I need to read 300 pages and really think about what I'm reading and what that's giving me. And I'm wondering if there's less time given to that now, and what that kind of, Is that a good or a bad thing?
I think it's a very interesting thing. I sit on a select committee in Westminster. And we will have a bundle of information each week that we will read through, which is typical of these large government and quasi-government committees. The way to get around that is to make that material interesting and well-written, of course. And then you do actually read it. And, of course... It's also got to be relevant. And I think that's one of the issues. So I think relevance, quality of writing, and examples. And also, of course, using the page wisely. So, for example, one thing we do in our documents is to box things that we think are striking. And very often the box will be very simple, but it will give a a message which perhaps you might not have thought about.
And inherent in all that is time, strikes me. We need
yeah,
to make.
You can read pretty quickly. I mean, you can read a, because anyway, in a 300-page document, there's a whole. I mean, typically in the select committee, they're pretty busy people.
Yeah.
You know, they're all,
yeah,
you know, they're all doing other stuff. I mean, so if we have a 100 pages to read, I bet, you know, most of the committee will go through that document, and they often they'll write notes. But they, I suspect that if they're like me, they will focus on certain chunks.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you very much.
Okay. It's all about interest, really. It's about, isn't it?
I think so. But someone said something very interesting yesterday. It's like we know how to find things out and how to, you know, learn things outside of work. But when we walk once you walk into the office through the office door, adults seem to act as if they don't know how to do it anymore. And then companies seem to treat them as if they don't know how to do things anymore and tell them how to do it in a way that isn't very suited to how we learn. Which seems an extraordinary state of affairs, really. Yeah, I think you're right. Interesting, do it, you know, all the things you've just discussed, I think.
I think the other thing that, you know, that we don't do in company documents is we forget, and maybe I didn't make enough of this point, but it's something I did slightly refer to. You know, ever since time began, you know, for humans, the key way of learning has been telling a story around the far side.
Yeah, yeah.
We are hardwired for stories. So telling a story, you know, with an arresting beginning and an ending and so on in the middle, that's very important. It's not any, you know very well, I don't know if you've got young kids, but you know, if you brought up young kids, you'll know that every kid wants you to tell them a story. It's because absolute hardwired hunger. They want that story, and they will repeat that story. And actually, if you then change the story, they will remember that you've changed the story and provoke you. It doesn't have to be a good story.
Yeah, it's true.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I've got three young children under 10. So
I was telling a 4-year-old and a 3.5-year-old the other day a story about this creature that didn't have a name that went through the woods, and all the other animals had names like elephant, kangaroo, rhinoceros, and so on. And finally, it decides it really wants to know what its name is, so it goes to this wizard in the woods. It's making up what's going on. And the wizard said, well, I'll give you a name, providing you entertain me. So I want you to tell me a story. So this animal says, well, there was once an animal that walked through the woods, and the rhinoceros, you know, and so it repeats again and again and again. And what was interesting was that these two kids were quite intrigued by it. After about, once we got to the third tranche, you know, they started to wake up about they'd been conned.
Yeah. It's funny. So I,